Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. It's great to share some thoughts with you this morning. Want to wish you all a Merry Christmas Eve today. I think I got the right amount of Eves. So as we said, we had sermons this month on hope, peace, and joy. And this is the last one on love, so I'm really excited to share with you guys some thoughts on love today. So a question, you know, what are your favorite Christmas memories? You know, I think Cheryl's was a good example of the plates, you know. It's like you have those things that are traditions that you just remember. You know, mine, I have a couple memories. Most of them are around family, though, you know. It's like you go see those cousins that you only see at Christmas time, and you know, the tree is amazing, and the cookies are amazing and everything. I still remember some of the, you know, exact cookies that I had, you know, like the, you know, the peanut butter one with the kiss in the middle of it? But that was only at that cousin's house, so I remember that. I remember what their tree looked like. I remember playing with toys with my two brothers, of course, you know. I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me, a younger brother who's 14 months younger than me. So we were all, like, the same age, so we had a ton of fun playing with our stuff. I remember one Christmas, I think we got a bow and arrow and BB guns. And it's cold in Wisconsin, so we set up targets in the basement, I think just some boxes, and we were just shooting guns and shooting arrows down there. So nobody got hurt, I'm sure, thankfully. No one shot their eye out, that's right. But talking about love, you know, it's like at Christmas we have those traditions and memories, and it's kind of like, you know, the decorations and the meals and the places you go and the things you do. That's kind of like the you know, how you put seasoning on a big piece of meat, on the prime rib or the tenderloin or whatever you have. But, you know, the meat is the love, you know. It's the main course of that Christmas feast is really the love. You know, all those things around it kind of bring back memories of the love. So it's a major emphasis of what we celebrate at Christmas time. So the title is Love is Christmas. And so you're probably thinking, well, love is a lot more than Christmas. It's kind of a confusing title for the sermon. But hopefully by the end, it will make sense. You know, trying to draw you in with a controversial title. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 2. 8 through 20, and if we can throw the scripture up there, there we go, thank you, Jeff. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, a baby. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, this thing that has happened, you know, the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened." So what happened here in Bethlehem? You know, I think it's a combination of, like, the most majestic. A Savior was born, but not only a Savior, the Messiah, who they had been waiting for hundreds of years. But on the other hand, it was the most humble. It wasn't what you would expect a king or a Messiah to be born into. He was wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, a helpless baby. You know, so it was the Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, lying in a manger. The shepherds must have, you know, their mind must have been like really trying to process what they saw. You know, I think the shepherds had a double blessing that they were honored to be not only the first eyewitnesses of Jesus' birth, but they also got a firsthand glimpse of the upside-down nature of God's kingdom, where Jesus came as a king but was lying in a humble manger. How did the shepherds respond, though? You know, it says they hurried off. So they are watching their sheep. It was night. And all of a sudden, they decided to hurry off. Did anybody watch the sheep? I have that question. How far away was Bethlehem, too? Like, it was just over the hill. You know, it says that they told a lot of people on, you know, after they saw it. So I'm thinking it wasn't just over the hill. So they traveled. So they really, you know, they kind of dropped everything, you know, their routine, the expectation of what that night was for them. They just dropped everything and went to see the Lord. You know, so instead of focusing on this amazing history-changing event of the Messiah being born, fully God and fully human, you know, we can get so easily caught up, you know, in the busyness, you know, all the trying to get the house ready, all the shopping, as Nathan was talking about, the food, you know, and we're worried about, you know, what people are going to think and you know, kind of meeting expectations and stuff like that. And we have our own expectations that we're kind of dealing with sometimes. You know, so I want to share a cautionary tale with you about this. I got permission from Julie. So Ron and I were actually having breakfast beginning in December, the first Friday of December, and I think he was making a point, you know, it's like we're not judged, you know, our final judgment of our value is not on how our house looks at Christmas, and we get so caught up in all the stuff and everything, and I was like, amen, brother, that's right, I'm with you 100%. So that night, so all that week I had been working on putting up Christmas decorations. You know, I got the tree up. I put the lights on the outside of the house and everything like that. You know, we kind of have our own separate roles in decorating. You know, it's like I have the stuff that I do, kind of the big stuff outside the house, climbing, dangerous. And then Julie has like a million, like, you know, knickknacks, Christmas trees, a nativity set and everything like that. So I had all of my stuff done. And now it was time, you know, we put the ornaments on the tree and it was time to do her stuff. And she was like, I was standing like in the kitchen behind her so she couldn't see me. And she just said, you know, I just don't feel like it, you know, this year. You know, it's like we're not all the, this is our first year without Aaron and Brody and Arlie, you know, coming home. And Caroline is overseas now. Thankful to have Nate and Hazel here. Right. But, you know, not quite the same. So she was just not feeling up for it. And my reaction, even after that, having that discussion in the morning, is hard to put into words. So, excuse me? That's I was like, but she couldn't see me, so I was like, you know, like just shaking my head in the kitchen trying to pull it together. And then I remembered that discussion we had that morning. And, you know, after like, you know, wrestling for 30 seconds or whatever, I was like, something along the lines of, okay, honey, we can just, whatever you want to put out, let's put out. Whatever we don't, whatever you don't want to put out, let's not put out. Is that how it went? Is that true? Okay. It was close to that. It was close to that. But you know, we know we should be more loving at this time of the year, but instead we can get stressed, we can get grumpy, selfish, you know, self-focused. I had expectations that I wanted to meet regardless of what was going on. You know, but so we ask ourselves, how can this thing that has happened, you know, that changed the course of history change our hearts? So let's go to the next scripture and talk about Emmanuel. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John 3:16 says, verse we're all familiar with, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, this son that was born, you know, this thing that has happened, as the shepherd said, was an expression of God's love for us. That's what John 3:16 says. You know, gifts are a great way to show love. You know, it's like we give, one of the traditions, we give gifts at Christmas time. We shower one another with love. You know, but I think if, you know, if it's just a gift, you know, if it's somebody maybe you never talk to, never see, and you just get a gift once a year, it's not really the same, right? There's something about, you know, being with, you know, and that's what God did. You know, it says Emmanuel, God with us. You know, God came to be with us and show love that way. You know, so kind of a personal example of this, you know, for years at work, the job I worked was, there was a lot of pressure to work long hours, and it was always like too much work to do. And I really gave into that a lot. You know, I wasn't there for Julie and the kids, you know, throughout the week like I should have been. And I remember like one, you know, very tearful conversation where she said, you know, I just want you. You know, I was kind of trying to say, well, you know, I have to do all the stuff, bring home the paycheck and everything. And she just said, I just want you. And that stuck with me, made me try to change. But, you know, that's how it is with God. You know, God wants to be with us. And let's look at how Jesus lived now in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 11, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, and what does it mean to love like Jesus? You know, we see in Jesus in the scripture that he made himself nothing. He became the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death. You know, so we ask ourselves, especially as we head into the holiday season with kind of out of the routine, spending that extra time with family, maybe some time off from work, you know, how do we need to make sure that we're loving like Jesus? You think about old habits. You know, we may be tempted to revert to old habits, especially if we're going visiting our parents. You know, like, okay, it's time to, like, just throw our clothes all over the bedroom and leave dishes everywhere, clothes everywhere, socks. You know, that's, but I remember even when I was in my 20s and we would go home with the kids, you know, I would like end up like playing video games on the computer and Julie would be chasing the kids around and stuff. So I guilty of that myself. But what about being a humble servant, you know, and not looking to just be served, you know, instead of kind of thinking of our own expectations, you know, like, oh, I gave him or her a gift, you know, kind of disappointed that I didn't get one back of the same value or whatever. You know, let's be a humble servant like Jesus. Let's honor God's will too, how Jesus became obedient to God's will. You know, we may be tempted to drink too much, you know, as older folks, you know, it's like you're sitting around and everybody's got the alcohol out. We need to be careful about that. You know, let's follow Jesus' footsteps. And now, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to transition to communion here. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, Jesus, in his birth, it was a humble birth. He showed us what his kingdom would be all about in his birth. In his life, he set aside the glory to take the nature of a servant. Yeah. And in his death on a cross, he laid down his life for us. And we ask, what is love? And so if by Christmas we mean Christ coming to us, living with us, and giving himself on the cross for us, then we can truly say, love is Christmas. Let's pray for the communion. Dear Lord, just looking at the birth of your son, celebrating it, all that you've blessed us with, just the fun decorations, traditions, gifts, and everything that you've given us, we realize that love is truly what you bring to us and what you ask us to do with each other, and we pray that we can truly follow in the steps of Jesus, even to the point of laying down his life on the cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.